Welcome to the Pinecast. Joining me today is Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at IHateYourClub. And joining us for his first Pinecast is Michael Serrano. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael_Matador. Mm-hmm. It's a pleasure to have you, Mike.
Hello. What's up, man? Nice to be here.
Yeah. So we're on the back of a very entertaining and exciting week of Champions League football. Match day two. Today saw our beloved Arsenal as well as your beloved Real Madrid take the field and both chalk up wins, although albeit by slightly different methods.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Michael. What do you think about Real Madrid's match today?
It was a bit disappointing, but it also highlights the problem that they've had all, not this season, but honestly over the last past years, which is set pieces. And today was shown in the first half with the goal on the corner kick and, you know, lack of awareness from everybody on their parts. Casillas couldn't do much on that one, you know, but once again, it just highlights the problem that they've had all season, which is just tactical awareness. And, you know, on set plays, they need to improve. Ancelotti really hasn't highlighted that, but, you know, Benzema came through at the end and got us the 3 points that we needed, honestly.
Joseph, do you think that Ludogorets' performance against Real Madrid makes it less funny that that Liverpool had so much trouble against them last week? Any kind of justification for them?
No, because didn't they play Liverpool at Anfield?
At Anfield.
Right. So this was, you know, them at home. You'd expect them to play a little better at home. So, I think it's still hilarious. I don't think it's less hilarious. I think
it's always a good time to laugh at Liverpool.
Yes.
Speaking of Liverpool, we will get to their results shortly, but we're gonna let that one wait a little bit because they had a nice little run in with FC Basel, and they learned just the way Chelsea did the other year. So that was a lot of fun. So Michael, we saw in the Real Madrid match, you know, obviously they decided to rotate a bit, considering the opposition. That certainly was a factor because normally. Right. They wouldn't have done this kind of rotation for the Champions League, but considering it was Ludogorets, so we saw Yaramendi, Chicharito got a start.
Isco did too.
Isco got a start, so that was a big rotation. What did you see from those players that came in and were given a chance to play?
Actually, I saw Isco actually come in and show up and distribute the ball much more effectively than he really does, actually, because I've noticed with Isco's playing, his game is a bit more of a, he sticks to the ball and he doesn't really let go of it at times when he needs to. However, today he came through with different opportunities. For example, the one he came with Chicharito in the middle when he gave the header. But, you know, to me, he was the most impressive one to come on, to be put as a starting 11, on the starting 11 by Ancelotti. So, and then Yaramendi too, you know, I mean, he's not going to get many minutes this season, you know, with the acquisition of Kroos. But with Sami Khedira's injury at the moment, I feel that he could get those starting minutes whenever they need to.
Yeah, he's like up a step on the depth chart because of that injury.
Yes, so. Definitely.
I'm sure you're pretty excited. We haven't talked about it too much yet, that our Mexican brethren, Chicharito, is now a striker at Real Madrid. So I'm sure you're pretty happy to see him leave Manchester United to come join your folk.
Very, very. It was a surprise to everybody, including myself, but it was like I was telling you earlier, you know, I mean, Ancelotti's not obligated to play him as they would have if they would have bought Falcao. But that's a luxury that Real Madrid has. They have Benzema starting, but they could have Chicharito on the bench ready to come out. And, yeah.
See, it's a very good opportunity for him. You know, it's a chance to prove himself. He's probably going to get more minutes than he would have at Manchester United, which is kind of funny considering the plight of both teams. But just the way they're stacked, you know. We were saying, you know, there was no room for Welbeck to get any minutes. There was no room for Chicharito to get minutes either in Manchester. And so, it really, both of them needed to move away to another club. And
different scene in total.
Yeah, certainly.
Know?
Certainly different scene. And, you know, and Chicharito's really making the most out of it so far, at least. And, you know, he's shown some talent. He actually scored a goal from outside of the box, which I don't think, Joseph, have you ever seen him do that ever?
I have never seen him do it. I really haven't. I mean, at least I can't remember. Everything I remember is, you know, a header for some reason, a guy that height always alone somewhere in the six with an ugly finish or a header.
Right, an ugly side foot, like lunging, but bare, you know, bundling it across the line, but doing it well like a true fox in the box. So
Or who could forget the one against Chelsea in the Community Shield? Remember Manchester United?
Was that the one where he hit himself in the face?
Yeah, the first goal he scored for Manchester
right,
United.
Right. He scuffed it while his leg was back, and it popped up, hit him in the face, and won the goal. That was a brilliant, brilliant goal.
That was awesome.
Thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining. So the main thing that mattered was that.
That's an assist and a goal.
Yeah,
assist and goal. Yeah, try doing that, bitch. It was impressive. So just as far as the way that group goes, so Real Madrid won that match, which puts them on 6 points through two, right? So they're sitting pretty at the top of the group.
Definitely.
We have Liverpool on 3 points because they somehow managed to get that last-minute winner against Ludogorets last time around. Mm-hmm. But now they've lost to Basel. FC Basel, who, look, let's not fuck around. Like, they've been they've been overperforming, you could say. I mean, they've gotten some good results. You know, did they have Shaqiri when they first beat Chelsea or something? They still had someone really pretty good back then.
I think they still have Shaqiri back then.
I think that was the season before Shaqiri moved to Bayern. But we've seen them come up and be giant killers before. But you know, not that they were playing giants today, because Liverpool are nowhere near giants anymore. It was an interesting scenario for him, and I was watching at.
So you got them level on points. They're on level on points.
Yeah,
right?
you have them level on points, and Ludogorets is sitting there with no points. So, but you got to say that, you know, obviously Basel having won their first match with Liverpool are sitting kind of pretty in that situation. You know, they haven't, you know, because that's without having played Madrid and all that. So we'll see if Basel can pick up points against Ludogorets, they're going to be sitting in a nice position. You know, depending on what happens with Real Madrid and Liverpool. I mean. Honestly, I don't expect Liverpool to take any points off Real Madrid. Although, you know, the way these things are going, maybe they'll actually pull out a result.
Yeah, you never know.
But I don't think
they won't.
But we won't see. Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't think Real Madrid are going to sit and rotate a lineup the way they did today against Liverpool. Right. Although maybe they should because they're a small side. So who knows? The Liverpool slander can always continue on the podcast. In case you didn't know.
Okay. Now I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying my friend at the pub, who first off, when I walked in, told me that Welbeck was shit right as he scored a brace, and then was talking about how Liverpool were playing like shit. And then I think Welbeck got his third goal, and that's right when Basel scored on Liverpool. So the reaction on his face was pretty priceless. Joseph, let's get to that Arsenal result, because it's certainly something that's been, you know, we've been yearning for these kind of results. You know, we talked about this on the podcast on Monday, that we all thought that they were going to take care of business and get the result here. We did get the goals that we wanted. We got, you know, a convincing performance. And it was one of those rare occasions where we actually got goals and didn't have to. We weren't on the edge of our seat. There was no squeaky bum time. We actually handled it. Give me your thoughts on the game, Joseph.
We pretty much just ripped them apart for the 45 minutes, and although they tried to basically remove Sanchez's legs,
fucking Felipe Melo, we still ripped. Dirty cunt.
I mean, until we scored our third, they didn't figure out how to stop us, and pretty much after the third goal, they figured they did some adjustments, and you know. They looked a little bit better, and I thought maybe they would continue to do so after the break. But you know, within 5 minutes, we pretty much decided the game with great passing, great movement, quick passing. You know, I think Santi, in the position he played today, it worked against this team, and he was able to get the ball forward quickly. You know, he didn't, and there were people up front that could, you know, hold on to the ball more than 2 seconds too. You know, it was get the ball forward and not just, you know, lose possession. And you know that he won't work there against every team,
right?
But against this type of team, he can play there, you know, which is good to have a different option. You know, man, it'd be nice if we weren't forced into these type of
That back three for Galatasaray was fucking horrid. I mean, just their movement and pace just looked so bad. I mean, I know Welbeck is quick,
right? There's a lot of defenses that we should do that too.
Certainly, I mean, but it seemed so easy for Welbeck to get in behind on these guys. You know, like his movement. I don't know if it was for the third goal or which one it was. You know, he's just moving across the line, but the defense is just standing there static, and it's just all day for him just to cut right through, and then just a little, you know, waiting for that pass. As soon as the pass is released, he just dips in. He's got his 2 yards, And then it's just a simple dink over the keeper.
Is Muslera still keeper? Or, yeah. Okay. Wow.
You know. Well, you know. I mean, he got hung out to dry.
What were they going to do? Right. They're worried about Welbeck, but they're worried about Sanchez. You know what I mean? And even Ox's pace on the right. You know. So that kind of pace and movement. You know. They didn't have much chance unless they were going to park the bus.
So what do you think? So we're finally getting a little bit more exposure to seeing what Sanchez can do on the left. Are you enjoying what you're seeing from him on the left-hand side? I mean, I feel like we're seeing some promising signs for when Theo comes back of him playing on that opposite wing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's where he belongs with what we have in attack. So, I mean, it's not like he can't play up front, but there's really no reason we need someone a little bit more of a focal point than him. But, you know, today we didn't face anybody that has been – everybody to get under our skin has been pressing us, and Galatasaray don't have the skill to press us and to
it's not the skill or the personnel, really.
To keep the ball once they get the ball off us, you know. So, but – and that's the thing, is that we haven't looked good against lesser teams, and this was a lesser team. It just was, and we were finally able to put up a good showing versus a lesser team. So, I mean, it's pretty happy.
Yeah, it was nice to put a team to the sword, like you said. Like, the whole second half was like comfortable. It was just comfortable viewing for me, even after the fucking red card, you know. And it was just kind of like looking around, and there are always other squeaky results, so just kind of like sit back, lax. It's like you forget how it is to win a match comfortably. You know, it's such a foreign feeling after a while, which is like, man, it was nice when we had this all the time. You could sit through, you know, last 30 minutes, you're really just cruising and watching, hoping for a good goal. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe Santi didn't finish that one at the end.
All right,
in the 94th minute or whatever it was. Do you have any opinion on the red card, Joseph? Because it seemed to me, you know, like maybe Shezny didn't.
No,
come
you're always
so going to
get a red card there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He closed his goddamn eyes.
Oh, the replay showed it.
That's what happened, is he closed his damn eyes.
Oh, he did.
And so he never saw that the ball went away, because if he had his eye open, he's so quick because he's a keeper that he might have been able to pull his arms back. But he went into the challenge with his eyes fucking closed.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, yes, but maybe he could have reached out, I'm just saying, which as quick as their reactions are with their hands.
Yeah.
It's not like me doing it, you know. But it literally, when he goes down, his eyes are closed.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't see it in the replay myself, but yeah, I'll take your word.
I wasn't worried. It was.
You know, and it really it didn't hurt us today. You know, so I saw some reactions, people talking about it after the match, and it's like, look, man, it's not the biggest deal. That means Ospina gets another match. And, you know, it's credit, fair play to Ospina. I mean, you were talking about it, right, Michael?
Yeah.
That I mean, you're a fan of his. You liked what he did at the World Cup, and you like seeing him get matches.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Joseph and I are both of the mind that we want to see the best keeper play, and we think the best thing for Szczęsny, because I think he's number one, I think he'll stay number one, but the best thing for him is to have a guy like Ospina who's going to put him on his toes, because Ospina is a legitimate number one for a good club. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he hasn't done it yet.
It's nice not to be worried.
Right.
Yeah.
About the option off the bench, or the option who get, you know, if Szczęsny, you know, has picked up injuries over his career, might not as much now because
right
he's filling out
break both
frame wise, you know, but
working out the way he did, right. He did when he was 16,
right?
When he was
but,
a skinny pole.
I'm not worried about Ospina, his performance at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. It's really reassuring.
We haven't
right?
had
it's
that
not,
for
it's not fucking
6 years
or even. Fabianski when he was playing like Flappy Hansky.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he kind of sorted it out towards the end, but he still was clearly second choice, which made a big difference. What were your feelings about the Ox? I feel like he's really growing into growing into his body for one. I mean, he's always kind of been a specimen. He's, you know, he's built like a little tank. He's got that really strong build, but I mean, he seems to have like no fear when taking on players, man. The guy just got so much pace and he's so dynamic. Did you see much from him today, Joseph?
I think for him, you know, this is what we expected last season, and we were kind of robbed of it because of his injury.
Yeah, that injury.
But right, and I think he still needs a lot of matches to get to become more. I mean, he's a competent guy. Don't get me wrong, but to get confident in what he wants to do with the ball at his pace. We saw it with Theo for years, right? Just blistering pace and not enough end product. And I think we're seeing that with Ox, and hopefully with being healthy and having hopefully a lot of matches to work with.
And
he'll just continue to push on.
Yeah, Ox has always had that slightly different dimension because he's always been very tricky on the ball. You know, he's always had these little – he's got these little moves and flicks. Mm-hmm. Like Theo has always had the pace, and then he's added the really clinical finishing. You know, he's never been a fancy dribbler, though. Mm-hmm. Theo's a guy who runs past you and just goes, mm-hmm. you know. He has a dip of the shoulder and a cut, not a – you know, not a double step over or a fake and jukes like that. But we're seeing a lot of fun stuff from the Ox because of what he's just capable of doing when he's on the ball. And he's got such a powerful frame and that lower center of gravity. It really, I mean, you really think when in terms of build wise, you look at footballers at like that size. There've been a lot of guys. I mean, even currently, which is kind of counter to the, I guess what counteractive to what a lot of the modern footballer is. You still have the guys. I mean, look at the Kun Agüeros and the Messis, mm-hmm. and all these guys. The low center of gravity, yes. that kind of stocky yeah. strength, but like a really strong base.
Yeah.
With the
well,
pace.
You can kind of compare him body wise to maybe what Sanchez is.
Yeah, I mean they're both little powerhouses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so much strength, but in a very compact frame. So. It's exciting to see, you know, and this is, you know, it's a good result, something we needed, you know, help get our goal difference back in the positive and set us right in the group. You know, Dortmund, well, let's talk a little about other stuff. So the Dortmund got the results, I think 3-0 against Anderlecht, mm-hmm. which is good. They had, I think, Immobile on the score sheet, yeah. and Ramos scored one
nice,
or two.
Nice
and so,
Kagawa.
Yeah, and so, you know, they kept on doing what they were supposed to do, and they handled business there. So we'll see how it goes from there. But there were a few other interesting results. I think there's one you'd like to talk about, Joseph, something that we saw yesterday. I think your favorite team. I think both of you guys are going to enjoy this. A certain team from Barcelona lost to PSG yesterday.
Yeah.
Any particular thoughts on
that,
Joseph?
I'll let Michael go on that one because, you know, we both have hate. But, you know, this is a team he probably watches a lot more than I do even. So,
you have any particular thoughts on that PSG-Barca match?
Yeah, it surprised the crap out of me, actually, because with an injured Zlatan and an injured Thiago Silva and I think it was Mota too, right? Mota, who was injured.
Yeah, I don't think he was playing.
And he wasn't playing, so, you know, you'd expect Barcelona to even have an upper hand, honestly, in this kind of game. And they were at home too, right, if I'm correct?
No, they're playing in Paris.
They're playing Paris?
Yeah.
Okay,
they're playing in Paris, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean... You know, just Zlatan alone, honestly, I couldn't really see PSG pulling out the win. But I could have seen them put out the tie, but, you know, still, Barcelona just didn't, they were out of sorts towards the end. They just had, once again, the argument comes up when, you know, you need to have intent with possession. If you don't have intent with possession, you know, you can't be going forward with tenacity, you know?
Yeah, if there's no cutting edge, I mean, right. all that possession does you fuck all if you can't, you know?
Yeah.
All the floor play without any good stick at the end right. is not, you know, it's not enough cut and thrust.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, but I enjoyed it. It was a pretty entertaining contest, too, because twice when PSG scored, Barcelona answered back really quickly, mm-hmm. right? PSG had barely scored that goal. I think I was in the newsroom. I was telling someone I have a Barcelona fan that I have a class with, and we're talking about it. And all of a sudden, Barcelona immediately scored. It was mm-hmm. a nice goal, you know, a good quick movement of play.
Well, it was Messi's, right?
Yeah, that was beautiful. The ball out wide to Iniesta. The quick cut right back in, and the Messi first time into the corner. That's just like, you know, the angles played there. It's just, it was so clinical. It was very
Neymar's
nice.
Neymar's goal impressed me. I'm not gonna lie. Neymar's goal was
nice.
It was very nice. Very good. It was executed very well, honestly.
But not enough.
Not enough. Yeah, again.
PSG getting it done. They're getting a little money back on their little you know,
payback. On the semifinal of 2 years ago, right? It was two Champions Leagues ago.
Was
right?
it semifinals? Was it quarterfinals? I don't remember.
Semifinals. That was a big yeah. game.
But getting a little return on their investment from David Luiz. He got the first goal for him yesterday. So that was, you know, good for Sideshow Bob.
And interesting, too, because David Luiz could have gone to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, he certainly could have.
He was the top one.
It would have made a lot of sense, you know, because it seems like he mm-hmm. fits their playing style. So,
yeah.
But PSG threw that long dollar at him. So
always good to see Barcelona lose. So, I mean,
yeah, we can always enjoy that. Yeah. So it was good. It was good to see. But overall, I guess La Liga's participants had a pretty good showing.
Yeah.
Atletico got an impressive win today, even though it wasn't, I guess, tactics. You know, looking back on the match, it wasn't a match that Atletico dominated, but they played their counterattacking style while playing at home, and it was good enough to earn them a victory against Juventus, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that is the big match in that group. So it was a job well done to take the points at home, you know, and they've been really strong. You know, they've kind of surprised me. I thought they did really good business over the summer and really replaced well because they lost so many vital and important players.
Good transition.
Of that title-winning squad. So they, you know, they put it together and they got a good result. They needed it after dropping the first result in match day one.
Right.
So that was a good way to bounce back against the top team in their group. And, you know, good for them. Even though you may not share my your Real Madrid supporting self, will not really sympathize with that. But I'm sure you like seeing La Liga teams do well.
No, of course, right. But I was going to add to that. Athletic Bilbao actually lost a surprising loss against the small team. I forgot who it was, but they lost 2-1, if I'm correct. And that was pretty interesting to
what
see.
What was that?
When was that? It was today.
Oh, Bilbao in the Champions League? Yeah, they got fourth place?
Yeah, they're
Bilbao,
even know that.
Man,
yeah. Oh, so
they lost, huh?
Yeah, they were in the qualifiers.
Yeah, that's
right.
We were
happy not to draw them,
right? Because they were one of the only teams you actually would be somewhat worried about. Yeah, well, so I guess it was a mixed bag for them, you'd say. But it was a good week for Madrid,
definitely
both sides, and you know, so some good results there. Germany once again doing very well. I think three out of the four teams won, right? Three teams won and one team drew.
Yeah.
So you know, it's the same league is kind of doing well as we kind of expected. Mm-hmm. The only team really fucking up was, we have Liverpool,
right?
which is always entertaining. Yeah. So that was good. I mean, so it's really developing. You know, the group stages are coming along. This is really a lot of fun, though. I mean, once we get here, these first few match days, you know, and the groups start to kind of take shape, like the next few matches are really where, you know, they start to separate.
And who's going to come out of those type of games, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're right in the full swing of it, and it's getting good. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk a little about La Liga. Mm-hmm. We have a title race brewing. We've got a couple unexpected contenders. We have people like Valencia sitting up there just, you know, there or thereabouts. At the top, near the top of the table, I think I might be mistaken. Aren't they playing Atletico this weekend?
If I'm correct, yes.
So that's a really big matchup within the league. And you have Real Madrid, who was everybody's pick before the season to win the league, stuttering with those few results in the beginning.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. And then Barcelona, for the first time ever, actually kind of flying a little bit under the radar, and they're still kind of setting the pace. Yeah. Give me your thoughts on the title race and who you think really are going to be contenders come later this year.
You know, everybody expects Atletico to kind of come out with the same tenacity, but it's always hard, as we talked about with Simeone, to, you know, pull a squad together that is kind of disassembled in a way, with Costa leaving to Chelsea, you know, Luis following him as well, you know, and it's good to see that Koke, Turan, Gavi, and all of them stayed with them to keep that nice solidity in the middle, but, you know, I think Atletico are still very... Even though it's early on in the season, I still think Atletico are very, very in the title race as it is. Real Madrid, as you know, it's not surprising for them to kind of stutter in the beginning, and Barcelona, you know, like you said, they're flying right now. I mean, you know, as much as I don't want to admit it, but they're flying, and you know, Messi may not have all the goals at the moment, but he is honestly the catalyst for the whole team starting as they did right now in the beginning, which is very good. I mean, he's given, I don't know how many assists already. The goals haven't shown, but he's just been, you know, bouncing back and forth through the team. And he's been showing up, and it's been showing in the points at the moment. They're sitting atop right now. And, you know, What about you, Joseph? What do you think of your title contenders are at the moment, you know, even though it's early on in the season?
Yeah, I don't expect Atletico to be there again. I mean, I think they'll finish comfortably in third.
Uh-huh.
But I would suspect Barcelona will probably win this season. And
they get the bitey racist back pretty soon.
Yeah, I
that
think
guy's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I think they'll win the league, but I think Madrid will do well in the Champions League again. Mm-hmm. So, That's kind of just the way I see it this season.
El Once, maybe.
El Once, yeah. El Once. That'd be great.
I think Madrid fans would take that again. If they could do, it'd be the first team to do the back-to-back Champions League, they'd be
Some reason, I feel that they're
going
to.
And they'd happily concede that league title again because, you know it's all about the champions for them. It was all about La Decima last year. They couldn't give a fuck less.
Right.
You know, and I'm with you, though. I really think, you know, it's really hard for Lightning to strike twice in a row. I mean, we saw it in 2003-04 when Valencia won twice with when Benitez was the manager. And that was crazy. And I think the big dogs are too strong for that to happen again. I'd love to see Atletico.
Everything had to come right, and it kind of did for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd love to see Atletico put it together again, but it's really such a tall task for that to happen again. But we shall see, man. I mean, that title race is going to be interesting. And it's really cool seeing Valencia up there because, you know, they're a team that really just gets, I mean, just the way most of those, like this, I wouldn't even call them secondary clubs. I mean, because there's that group of teams that are usually right, the also-rans, right? Mm-hmm. So after the Real Madrid and Barcelona, it's usually some order of Atletico, Valencia, and Sevilla.
Malaga.
And then Malaga when they got a little bit of money, you know, and now we saw Bilbao creep in, even though they lost a bunch of their good players. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'd say that the teams that have routinely been in third through fifth place, you'd probably have to say most consistently over the past 5 to 8 years or whatever have been Sevilla, Valencia, and Atletico. Mm-hmm. But those teams are consistently the teams that lose their top talent to either Barcelona, Real Madrid, or they go abroad because if they can't play for Real or Barcelona, then they leave to go to Manchester United, Arsenal, you know, Chelsea, because that's where they can move on to the next level if they're not going to make it at one of those two squads. So it's interesting to see, man. They're playing good football. Sevilla's been playing good football as well. And we're going to have a really interesting test this weekend with the Valencia Atletico.
Yeah. That's on Saturday?
I can't remember exactly what day, but I'm definitely going to record it wherever
it is. Yeah, I have to watch that game.
So, yeah, but I mean, it's an exciting league. And I feel like, you know, I still wouldn't say there's the, you know, the parity there. I mean, everyone likes to talk about how it's a two-horse league.
Yeah, that's a...
I mean, well, look, Atletico, you know, broke the trend last season. I don't know that it'll happen again. How do you feel about the league strength from top to bottom? Do you think that they're really getting good competitive matches out of the teams in the bottom half of the league?
You know, I don't think it's as I, you know, here's the thing. Like, I feel like, you know, the English Premier League is the most popular league in the world. Due to broadcasting, you know, it's everywhere, you know. So, I mean, yeah, you can say that La Liga is a three-horse race now with Atletico in the picture now. But, you know, I always say that La Liga always has technicality over speed. And, I mean, I think it's distributed equally upon every team in La Liga, as we've seen. I mean, I remember Levante in specific always rings to mind in the past seasons with Real Madrid. They always give them problems, you know. And, you know, that's funny. We got Navas now, I mean, from Levante, you know.
Right, of course.
So, I mean, you know, just go back to argument how the players leave, you know, small clubs to the big clubs. And, but, you know, yeah, I think La Liga is a very technical league, no matter how in which kind of way you see it.
I agree with you there. I mean, you will see some players with some amazing technical ability teams like, are they even in the top division? Deportivo La Coruña.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing teams down at the bottom. You're seeing Espanyol and all these other clubs, the third clubs. You know, you see the Getafes, the Levante, these teams that are the third biggest club in their city, you know, behind the two big powerhouses. And they still are able to put together some really good football and some, you know, show some good technique and score some great goals. I think for entertainment value, I think it's great. Yeah, it's not the same pace as the Premier League because the Premier League is, you know, it's the adrenaline junkies league. It's the full-blooded challenges. It's the
fans.
The 100 miles an hour all the time, all the fans super into it all the time. I mean, you get that, you know, which is fantastic. And it's fantastic from a neutral perspective and just from a spectating point. But I really enjoy watching La Liga. Like, I don't think... It's not too often that I put on a match and I'm completely bored by it, which does happen a lot when I put on the Italian league. And even the German league is more entertaining. You know, I've been enjoying a little more Italian league lately just with certain matchups. I think there's a few more teams that have shown a bit of promise with better attacking tactics lately than maybe they have in a few years past. Mm-hmm. But it's made for some entertaining watching, that's for sure. And La Liga is, you know, almost every La Liga match is something I'd be willing to sit down and watch at least a bit of.
So I spend my weekends. Gotta enjoy while I can.
Indeed. And this just takes up a lot of damn time, but it's certainly worth it. Joseph, what are your thoughts on La Liga in general, though? I mean, do you agree with this in terms of how you feel that the race is always just between these couple teams, or do you actually enjoy watching most of their matches?
No, I'm a casual observer of the league, and if I think there's going to be a good matchup, I'll try to watch it. But it's always usually going to be among the top four or five teams, you know.
You were alluding to thinking that Real Madrid was going to do well. Do you think they're going to repeat? Do you actually think they're going to make that happen in the Champions League this year?
Yeah, for some reason, I think that they're actually going to repeat.
Yeah, you know, the good thing for them right now is that even if the early season trials and tribulations might fuck up and derail their title campaign just a bit, mm-hmm. we've seen last year in a similar situation, like, you know, Real Madrid are going to be too good to not make it out of the group stages. You've already seen that they've got two wins. All that matters is really how they're playing come springtime, and if they can put it together with mm-hmm. this new team, and it's not a new team. It's a team that just won La fucking Decima.
Yeah.
You know, that still has almost all their – I mean, they lost Di Maria, but you've added a lot of good parts. Yeah. So if they're firing on all cylinders come springtime, I don't know who's going to stop them. I mean, you have to say that the favorites to possibly do it would maybe be a Bayern again or a Chelsea or something maybe. I fucking hate saying that. I fucking hate saying that Chelsea is the strongest team.
But you just think it's going to come with tactics if it's Chelsea, because Chelsea has a great squad.
Yeah,
and they have a
Mourinho whose tactics usually work out. What are your thoughts on Mourinho? Because I mean, I know you have some strong opinions about him. What do you think about him, Michael? Because you had him at Madrid for a while.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love how he's been laying low lately. Like, he's been laying low under the radar.
Ah, fuck him. He's still a cunt.
He's not laying low. He's not.
And
he takes constant jabs every week.
And you know, I don't know. I guess I say that because, yeah, he does take jabs, and the media does, you know, show it as always. You know how the English media is. But, I mean, you know, it all comes down to...
But they lap it up. The English media fucking are swinging off his nuts, dude. They They love Jose, you know?
Jose. I guess what I'm trying to say is that he grinds out the 3 points week in and week out, and he has assembled a team that is very cohesive. I'm not, you know, there's no doubt about it. But you know, with Jose Mourinho, you get, you know, for everything you like about him, there's always five things to always, you know, criticize about him.
True.
So I mean, that's just the way it's always going to be. But he's getting the job done, and that's just what matters right now.
Yeah, the fucker's a winner.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just how he is.
And the longer, like when he has those years when he doesn't win anything, we can actually rejoice, because that's when people start to get tired of his shit. Because you know, he's that kind of guy, and he's that asshole that if he wasn't winning, everybody would hate him.
Right.
But if you can win, you can act like a dick because you're that guy.
And that's him.
And he constantly acts like a dick.
Yeah, and he constantly acts like a dick, but he also pretty constantly wins. And
right,
Joseph and I are of the mind that we probably think that his Chelsea are going to run away with the league this year. Mm-hmm. Michael, why don't you give us your pick for who you think is going to win the Premier League?
You know, season. That's a good question. And I've always been kind of going back and forth every time. Every weekend, I kind of formulate a new opinion. But at the moment, I honestly can't say any other team but Chelsea, because they just look like they're rampant this season. Costa just coming out and banging goals left and right already. You know, it's good. And also Fabregas. I don't like Fabregas. Fabregas is one of, you know, and let me be clear. I don't like Fabregas. I'm not a fan of him. He's kind of a dick for what that was a very dick move for what he did to you know, Arsenal players. And you know, for him to come back to Chelsea just in the fashion he came from Barcelona in Spain, you know. But when it comes down to games, he's getting it down, and I've seen him, you know.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Fucking Cesc.
I'd two-foot him. From behind.
It's funny to see how you would never have expected this last season where Mourinho will be working with Costa and Fabregas when, you know, a couple of seasons ago, they would maul it down on the field if you would have given them a chance. But now they're working together, you know, but...
Yeah,
it's funny how things work.
Yeah, it's crazy how shit works out, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we previewed on the last podcast the way we felt the Chelsea Arsenal match would go at the weekend. Let's just say Arsenal fans aren't very confident of going to Stamford Bridge and winning. Just a little background, if you didn't know, Arsene Wenger has never beaten Jose Mourinho.
Wow.
They haven't faced except for when at Chelsea. We never faced him when he was at Inter or at Real Madrid. So it was only at Chelsea. So he's undefeated against Arsene Wenger. We only won at the Bridge. The only time we've won at Stamford Bridge in the past fucking 10 years or 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is, was while he was gone. and we won a 5-3 there a couple seasons back. So, you know, we had those big injuries, those big muscle injuries to Arteta and to Ramsey during the week, which certainly, you know, it's a significant blow to our squad. Do you think that Arsenal will be able to do enough to get a result at Chelsea this weekend?
A result's at least a draw.
Yes.
A result is a draw is a big result.
That's a very big result. Definitely.
Do you think we can do it? Or what do you think? How do you see that one going out? It's okay to pick against Arsenal. Most of them. I think he's like, I don't know if I want to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, most of us picked. All right, so Joseph and our
4-1.
Friend Elliot. Yeah, Joseph picked 4-1. A 4-1 to Chelsea.
Oh,
Elliot picked like a 3-1, and I picked like a 1-1. I was the only one who didn't pick a loss. I was like, maybe we'll get a draw.
Yeah.
Could you see it going any other way, or give us your pick? We make predictions here on the podcast.
Yeah, okay,
so, you know.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so I think that, honestly, Arsenal has a chance, but it's very slim. But I still think that Chelsea could take it 2-1. And I think that's a pretty fair...
Yeah,
I think, I don't know, I could see it going 2-1.
That sounds way too logical.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, like not getting embarrassed, like after what happened last year and we got 6 goals scored against us at Chelsea, I think a lot of people would take a 2-1 and be like, ah, fuck it, it could have been a lot worse.
Better,
I mean,
than last year.
I mean, yeah, exactly, there are people that are saying we should just forfeit and take a 3-0, like the way they would do it in a tournament.
Well,
if you forfeit it as a kid,
the
AYSO tournament. All right, that's a 3-0 victory, let's call it that. Like, yeah, we'll take that. Only 3 goals against our goal difference, we could take that. I say fuck that. No, I'm a gambler at heart, and I have faith. Even though we have these injuries, I think we could pull it off. I think it's a very slight probability, but fuck, we could even go there and win. Electric Alexis with a brace. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I say you go for it. You know, we're going to have to go out there and defend. It's interesting. People talk about Arsene might not know tactics that well, but we've seen him deploying very different formations and things to very different matches this year. So I think you have to throw that theory out the window, but it's going to be interesting to see what type of tactics he uses going against the Mourinho side that we know can kill us on the break.
And you know, here's something to add too. I think it should be interesting to see how Mourinho goes up against sets up his tactics against Ozil. Honestly, I mean he's worked with him in Real Madrid. That's something that we know. You know, so Ozil is the type of player to be put in the hole. And there's been a lot of criticism on Wagner. I've been hearing about how he plays him out of position and he's not playing to the capabilities that he should be. You know. And so I think Mourinho is going to try to have, you know, Matic or Ramirez, if he starts with Ramirez, you know, that he's injured right now at the moment, to try to just get Ozil, you know, wind him up. You know, I think he's going to try to wind up Ozil.
And like you said, he really knows how to man mark a player out of
exactly
a game.
Right.
Like, he knows tactics, like, and specifically to neutralize a certain player, especially a guy who he knows so well, like he knows Ozil. I don't know, Joseph. I got a question I need to ask, but I don't want to ask.
You hate asking me questions.
I know, because you always tell me the answer that I know, but I don't want to hear. He's like the little guy on my shoulder.
He reassures
me.
You, yeah.
Yeah, he reassures like the really bad thoughts I have in my head. Give me. All right, I'm going to give you an over under. Okay, over under 1 assist for Cesc Fabregas on Sunday.
I'll say over, but I only think that it's over by 1. I think it'll be 2 assists.
Mm-hmm. Or an assist and a goal.
And a goal, yeah.
No, he won't score, but he will. But I think, honestly, to us, I believe the assists are much more damaging than a goal from him.
We
don't crave his goals. I mean, they were nice, don't get me wrong, when he put them in, but we missed, you know, that fucking ball right over the top on the end of somebody's foot. That's what we miss. We don't miss him popping up with a goal.
He's got so many assists. What is he on, 7 or 8 assists or something? Like, if he had 2 assists against us this weekend, he could hit double digits in assists already, something like that. He's at 9 or 10 assists with 2.
After a month and a half.
Yeah,
yes.
After like 6 Premier League matches or 7 Premier League matches.
Seven.
That's pretty filthy. That's, yeah, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that at all. I actually think he also wouldn't celebrate if he scored against Arsenal. But I mean, but who gives a shit about that?
Yeah.
It's now just getting to things.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
Just celebrate. I already don't like you for everything you've done. So go ahead and celebrate.
Yeah, I can't hate.
I mean, you. I mean, he was the player that you really enjoyed, and not like I didn't enjoy him too. But you know, we all have our players that we really like.
Yeah, he was my favorite player. For sure.
Right. So it will be much more difficult for you if he kissed the shirt than if he kissed the shirt. You know. For me,
I can do that. Then he'd actually get me to disown him for realsies now.
Well, over to you, Cesc.
Yeah, let's see. Let's just let that debate wait a little longer. Let's just let him not score or assist. That'd be fantastic. You know what would be really great is if Diego Costa had one of those like where he ripped his like his string cheese hamstring in like 10 minutes in the way he did in those big matches last year.
Isn't he a doubt? Well, I mean, well, he should have been a doubt, right?
Because yeah, did he play today?
No.
Or, I mean, did he play in the Champions League game?
No, yeah, he actually did, right? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, great.
But
he's fit
for the weekend. He's fit enough.
That's what they keep saying. They keep saying that he's really close, that he's like, we're gambling with it, which is like, you know. I just want, you know, can the gamble finally fuck up? Can he do his hamstring in 10 minutes in the way he did in like those big matches at the end of last season for Atletico?
Would you rather see Fabregas do his wonderful hamstring or Costa do his
Costa do his hamstring.
Yeah, okay. All day. Me too. Same here.
It is a slight personal bias, but yes, I'd rather see Costa because Costa is the guy who is scoring all the goals for them. And the big thing, you know, even with all the creators they had, I mean, you know, having the guy in the end to put it away. And Costa's been performing like a motherfucker for him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's the one I'd like to see out. And I don't have any, you know, and I'm a fan of his. You know, I liked him at Atletico and all that. But he plays for the enemy now. So,
yeah,
got to leave it at that. Any other who do Real Madrid have at the weekend?
Good question. Actually, I could check that, right?
All right, you check that while we talk about other things.
Check that right now.
You know, but there's a lot of interesting action around the league and the leagues this weekend. But we'll see what happens at Real Madrid because they need to get some momentum in the league.
Definitely.
You know, they haven't had it going the way they really would like. But you know, they need to get a consistent run of form. Do we know, Joseph, do you know when does the Bider come back? Is it October sometime, isn't it? Or is it after October? I can't remember. Okay. Suarez is back pretty soon.
Bilbao.
You guys have Bilbao?
Bilbao.
So
knocked off on confidence from this loss again today.
Yeah,
so
and what's interesting is that they're both coming off Champions League games, so you can't really cite the Champions League hangover because they're both coming back from that. So it'll be interesting to see how that works
out. And they're home too, Real Madrid. So
they're playing the Bernabeu.
Yeah, they should have the upper hand. But as I've said before, Real Madrid are they're a wild card sometimes against teams like this. How we talked about the middle table teams, you know.
Munain,
he's such a good player. Man.
I like him, man. I
love how he plays. He's a great playmaker.
He's a good player. Well, we'll see how that goes. That's interesting. And what about, you know, what Barcelona do? Who are they playing this weekend?
No, actually, I could pull that up again.
Yeah, we'll continue the research that should have been done before the podcast.
Definitely.
By all of us. That's on me. Oh, they have Rayo Vallecano.
That's an easy.
Well, you know, it should be easy. That could be a 5-0, 5-1, but then you never really know.
Mm-hmm. You know, the game with Rayo Vallecano kind of always reminds me of that game with Real Madrid when Ronaldo pulled that little the super cheeky back heel flick from a corner, and they barely scrapped out of that kind of game at the house. So, I mean, you know, I'll use that as reference to maybe to hopefully allude to Barcelona's dropping of points maybe this weekend.
Barcelona's going to win 6-0.
Yeah, and you know, that's probably the thing. They could either tie or they could either win 6-0 and Messi gets a hat trick.
I'd put the odds on the blowout, but yeah, we could see. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to leave it there. It's been a good little chat about the Champions League. It's a pleasure having you, Michael. You can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael_Matador. You can follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. And we'll be back next week with more fun action. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you for having me here, man.
Always a pleasure.
I'm off to order my Welbeck shirt. I'll see you guys later.
That guy Welbs. Get that Welbeck shirt. And we'll see. And hopefully we'll be coming back next week with some exciting stuff to talk about and maybe not a loss against Chelsea. So maybe it'll be upbeat.
I'll follow you, guys on Twitter.
Yeah, fuck that. Next week we'll be celebrating Arsenal's first ever victory over Jose Mourinho. You heard it here on the Pintcast first. Fuck Jose. Up the Arsenal. Chelsea can suck my dick.
White man came across the sea.